Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost. That's blueapron.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the show to call your real ghost story. You can write in through our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or interact with us on social media, Facebook. Real Ghost Stories Online is our handle. What did they call it back when trucker? Was it handles for
handle.
Truckers?
Yeah.
Our handle there. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast. And if you want to find us on the CB radio, it's Hey Ghoster Niner.
Not really.
666.
Somebody's going to try it. Not really.
You never hear about anybody. Everyone's like always promoting their social media. Like, here you find us here. Nobody ever says how you can identify them on a CB radio anymore.
I know.
The hell is going on with this?
I don't know.
CB, like the original form of social media.
Like Smokey and the Bandit.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously very limited as far as mm-hmm. how distance-wise that goes out there. Mm-hmm. But people had handles.
Yeah.
They interacted back and forth with short statements. Mm-hmm. It really kind of was.
It's kind of like Twitter on the road.
It really, yeah. I mean, seriously, it's an interesting thing. And there's probably a portion of our audience right now who's wondering what the hell a CB radio even is. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I always wanted one so bad when I was a kid. I forgot. I had like somebody in my family had one. I don't know if it was like my uncles or somebody did. I can't recall, but I just remember thinking, oh, that is so neat. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to do that. And in high school, I got my hands on one. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine had one. And I think I've told this story before. Might have been a while, though. And I thought, well, this is great. I'm going to start broadcasting on this thing. Now, you're not supposed to, it's like against the law.
Sure.
I thought, I'm going to make this into a radio station. Mm-hmm. I already worked at a radio station, but I thought, well, I'm at home. I can do it, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to create this new thing, and I'm going to start playing music through the CB. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run it and make it sound just like a radio station. So I hooked it up to a mixing board. I hooked it up to a computer, and I had the audio feed going into the CB radio through the mic. And eventually, the way I had to do it, you had to key the mic and actually put the mic, which is what you're talking to, in right up by the speaker. Mm-hmm. So I keyed the mic and then started running the radio station, started playing music. I mean, I'm playing John Cicada or something asinine through this thing. Not exactly probably the musical selection of most of the CB community, mm-hmm. of what they enjoy listening to. And then I had like little station identifiers and I jump on and do some talking. And then I unkeyed it after about, a half hour of playing it just to hear what people were saying. Mm-hmm. And the message I was getting was, I think we found the house.
Yeah.
I think we figured out where it's coming from. Because unbeknownst to me, I didn't know you could actually kind of track these things by signal strength. And that's all you really got. It's you got to figure this out by signal strength and where the signal is strongest. And I looked out the front window and there's like two cars going back and forth, like up and down my road with the giant like whip antennas on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out what house this is coming out of, because they had a giant antenna for broadcasting this thing. And it wasn't outside. It was just in the corner of my room, which is on the top floor of our house.
Sure.
Just leaning by the window. You couldn't see it. But it gave me a little elevation on the signal.
See, I remember when I was a little kid, we always had one in the car. We never hardly ever used it, mm-hmm. but we always had one.
Sure.
And the reason for that was there was one time back in the like early 70s, my grandmother, they had ice down in Dallas, and when that happens, nobody knows what they're doing or how to drive, including my poor little old grandmother. And
sure.
She was driving, and she spun out and got turned around and spun off the road. And she had it on, and actually somehow she coordinated, and a trucker helped kind of guide her and tell her how to,
mm-hmm.
what she needed to do. Otherwise, she would have just been stuck, because obviously sure. there's no cell phones, there's no nothing, and you can't walk anywhere in an ice storm.
Yeah, I mean, at that day and age, it really, you know, there was sensible options for it. It really wasn't towards the end of their lifespan. It was more so just, you know, kind of like react security type watch folks or truckers mm-hmm. who would have it. And they're still in use today, you know, with very select communities. But the mainstream
mm-hmm.
use of them was very much for things like that.
Yeah, it was kind of like it's kind of like how we just take cell phones for granted now.
Exactly. Yeah. So there you go. There's your lesson on CB radios for today.
Yes. How did we even get on that?
I don't even know.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Jessie. I am calling about something that happened to me when I was a kid. So I've always been really strong with paranormal activity, so on and so forth. Ever since I was a kid, I used to see my grandmother who passed away and so on and so forth. So I've always, you know, had that third eye, I guess. So when I was a kid, we lived in a small neighborhood, so everybody knew everybody, and down the street from me had a cemetery. And the cemetery was huge, so there was a lot of unmarked graves. It always gave me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, all cemeteries do, but this one specifically, I did not like going in it. So I'm at my house. All my girlfriends are there. It's summer, and all the boys had gone off with my brother's best friend, and all the boys stayed over there. I have a bunch of brothers, and they all went there too. So it was girls at my house, boys a couple blocks down, the opposite way of the cemetery. So all of us girls were sitting outside, and we're just hanging out. It's middle of the night. It's summer, so we're laying in the yard looking at the stars, talking to each other. And then suddenly we hear screaming from the cemetery. So immediately we all shut up and we get real quiet. And then we hear the screaming again. It sounds like my brother. He starts screaming, "Jessica, Jessica, Jessica, help me, Jessica." And it sounded just like my big brother. So I'm freaking out. I'm about to take off towards the cemetery, but then I stop and I'm like, but my brother's not down there. And I keep hearing it. We can see somebody standing in the middle of the cemetery, because like I said, I was right down the street from it. And my brother's voice just kept screaming my name. So I called him. I called him on his cell phone. And he answers, "Hello? What's up? Danny, where are you?" "I'm at Sean's." And I can hear the TV in the background, but at the same time, I can hear his voice echoing down the street from the cemetery. He hears it over the phone. He says, "What is that?" "I don't know. I thought it was you. Get inside now." So I grab all my friends. We run inside. I went to bed. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. It's not happening. So I went to bed. And the next day, one of the neighbor girls came down. They're like, "Hey, did you hear that screaming? Was that your brother? Is he okay?" So it's not just us that heard it. It's everybody that's on the street. And at that cemetery, a bunch of weird stuff has always happened. There was a group of people that died in the cemetery at the time. And there's people that have got hurt in the cemetery. You know, kids going, thinking that they're being cute, going to the cemetery, falling in random holes, breaking their legs. It's very, not good. Shapes have been seen. People, they ended up building an iron chain link fence around, and after this time, you can't go in. But that's my story. I just thought I'd share it with you since you guys seem to have really good insight. I'm enjoying your show. I'm going to be signing up to your subscription, and I'm going to spread the word. I'd like to keep hearing about y'all. So, all right. Well, I hope you guys, you know, have a good day. Thank you for listening to my story.
Like a good creepy-ass cemetery story.
I know. I know. And it makes you wonder if people, you know, with the legend of the cemetery, are people still having loved ones buried there? Or does that just kind of, is that how those creepy old cemeteries that you see on the side of the road out in the country sometimes become those creepy old cemeteries and nobody still uses it?
That's really what happens to a lot of them, is they're not used anymore. I don't know who maintains them. It probably varies from area to area, if it's like county or city or an entity of some sort. But there are certain cemeteries, especially...
No pun intended on that.
Yeah, an entity. Yeah, exactly. I didn't even think of that. At some point, some of those just stop being open vacancy,
okay,
for lack of a better term. And that's, a lot of times, that's where you get, you know, so all the trespassing and then vandalism and, and other things. And people just, innocent people, you know, like pretty much most of our audience, where it's, oh, let's just go and walk around, just take it because it's creepy and just fun. We're not going to vandalize. We want to go for the experience.
Well, and there's walking paths.
Yeah,
most of them.
But a lot of times, and you have the mix of the riffraff that will get in and mess with things.
Sure.
And then they have to shut it down to everybody. And then, like, virtually no one can get in without some sort of prior approval or appointment, you know, to visit, you know, a deceased loved one. The thing is, a lot of these places, the graves are so old, there's, in very few cases, oh, not a whole lot of living relatives that would have even known some of these people.
Sure.
When they were alive. Sure, of course, you could probably get into grandparents, great-grandparents, and further back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the relative amount of visitation for that purpose, so few and far between, that they just adopt those policies like, they're just closing the gates. It's not worth it, and we'd rather try and preserve this than that. But there's several of those out there.
Mm-hmm.
I love those ones. Those are the creepiest in most cases. I do love those. Speaking of loving things, I do certainly enjoy our supporters of our show, obviously our listeners and our EPP members. And every once in a while, we have another business that wants to support what we do here, and Blue Apron is one of them. They just have a great product. It's something that we've used for quite some time, even before they decided to support our show. So support them because they support us and help keep this thing going. These are meals that come to you. You can prepare them for less than $10 per person per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients, make delicious home-cooked meals. One of my biggest things with cooking is I'm kind of lazy. I mean, I love cooking, but I get lazy on, like, measuring.
Sure.
Like, measuring, I'm bad at that and most things. So I like just to kind of have things ready for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can mess around with the cooking, and I can cook pretty good, I think. But it's the measuring and all that I'm not the greatest at. So all this comes pre-portioned. It's excellent. I absolutely love this stuff. And you can choose from a variety of new recipes every single week. It's not just, gee, I hope I like the food this week. It's kind of exciting because you can see weeks out what your options are going to be.
Yeah.
You take a look at it on the app or on the website and go, I want this one and I want that one. You kind of look forward to your meals. And it's so easy. Each meal comes with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And a lot of them much less than 40 minutes, at least in my experience. Anyway, check out their menu this week. And because you like our show and you listen to our show, they are offering you guys your first three meals free with free shipping. That's pretty nice. It's not one of those deals where it's like, and just pay shipping. No, there's no hidden disclaimer here. Three free meals and free shipping. Your first three meals free and free shipping. All you gotta do is go to blueapron.com/ghost. That's all you gotta do. And there you go. Claim your first three meals free and get your free shipping. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and to create home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. You gotta check it out. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron. a better way to cook. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but I just looked at the menu. In February. There's obviously a lot of stuff on here, but here's some that kind of stood out to me. Cashew chicken stir fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice.
That sounds good. Uh-huh.
Roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I've been liking the farro salad stuff that we've been getting. Grain, it's great.
I like it as opposed to quinoa.
Yeah, I've never been a quinoa person. I think farro's like the new thing.
That's the grain that I'll go to instead of rice.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
So anyway, check it out and get those three meals for yourself and support them because they support us and help keep this thing going. BlueApron.com/ghost. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the show. Let's get another ghost story. Hi.
Happy holidays, Brewskies. I called the other day and my call got cut off and I have not had a chance to call back until now, and I wanted to wait until it was later in the evening and it was quiet. So I will repeat. I think most of the first thing I was telling you got recorded. In the event that it didn't, I'll just repeat it, and then I'll tell the I had another thing to say, actually. So that's what got cut off. So anyway, last weekend, my parents visited, my husband and I, and I told them about your podcast, and my dad was, I mean, they both loved it, but my dad was like, this is great, you know, and I told them, you know, to explain to him, you know, people call in, and he didn't understand at first. He's like, are they live? And I'm like, no, they just call in, and then they play play the recorded stories, and I go, it's really nice that so many people are willing to share what they've been through, because sometimes, you know, we are judged or whatever. And my dad brought up something that his sister not his sister's family. So this is his sister-in-law. The story that, and I know because I remember this. She had told my mom, and I do remember this story now. I had just forgot about it. It was probably when I was in college. My aunt's sister-in-law, her father was dying. And it was, you know, obviously really tragic. He was in the hospital. He'd been in the hospital for a while. And it was sad. Most of his kids were all adults. So they were like, you know, everybody was going back and forth from the hospital to their homes and, you know, taking care of their children and all that. And it was just at the same time really tragic to see, you know, their father die. And one of the sisters, so this, you know, would be my aunt's sister-in-law. There were more than one, though. I want to say there was like four kids. And I just don't know, you know, who everybody was. But I do remember that this was, I'm not going to say the name just for their, you know, their own anonymity. But she decided one evening just to go to church, and not because there was a service. She just wanted to sit and kind of just be in peace. And when she got to the church, she said it was, you know, pretty much no one was there. The pastor was there, and there were a couple people, but they had really kind of walked in and out. And she was just sitting in one of the pews, and she was just kind of thinking and, you know, obviously a lot going through her head and reflecting on everything. And all of a sudden, she felt a hand on her shoulder from behind, and the person said her name, and they said, peace be with you. And she said, I mean, she obviously immediately turned around because she didn't recognize the voice, but the voice knew her name, and no one was there. And she was obviously very startled. She said it wasn't scary, but it was more just shocking. So she got up and actually went, and the pastor was coming out of his office, I think, and she didn't even tell him what happened. She just said, is anybody working here? Like, I think they knew some of the people that worked there. So, I mean, she was just looking for any explanation, and there really wasn't one. And I think in the end, she felt like it must have been an angel or something like that. I don't know what to think, but I know that I know this person because I've seen her at family events when I go to my aunt's house, and she comes over, and she's again a very level-headed person. She wouldn't make something up, and I think this really actually was very groundbreaking for her when it happened because she was so upset and losing her father, and this was just, she said that when the hand touched her, it was like this calming effect went over her, and it was unbelievable. But I thought it was a really cool story, actually, this particular one. And then the other thing that when I got cut off was a lot of things that I've noticed on this podcast as I listen to it more and more and everybody's stories they share. One of the things that a lot of people say is, like, they realize as they've become adults that things that have happened to them as kids, they may not have realized may have been paranormal, for instance, like an imaginary friend or thinking that they saw something that wasn't there and they didn't understand that that would have been paranormal. And that kind of reminded me of something. When I was in fifth grade, my friend and I, we were in our art class, and the teacher sent us to get more supplies from the art closet, which was on the opposite wing of our elementary school. It wasn't a big elementary school at all, so we just walked around the corner. And the closet was pretty big. It was like, it wasn't like one of those closets where you'd squeeze two people in and you'd be like crushed. It was like a large walk-in closet with all the supplies and a lot of shelving. And the door shut behind us, and we, you know, we collected whatever we needed. I don't even remember what we were getting, but whatever we needed to collect, we got. And then I went to open the door, and I couldn't open the door. And I kind of turned around to my friend, and I said, the door won't open. And she said, what do you mean the door won't open? And I said, I think it's locked. And she goes, well, it can't be locked. There's no lock on it, which I knew that too, but I'm like, but I can't open it. So she tried to open it. It wouldn't open. And then I tried to, like, push on it with my, you know, the side of my body. And, you know, I said, you know, I almost thought it was kind of funny at first because I didn't understand. I didn't panic or anything. I don't know why, but it was just sort of, it just struck me as what's going on. I never thought anything out of the ordinary. I just thought, how did this happen? How did we get, I figured the door jammed or just got stuck. But it was just odd how easily I walked into that closet. Like, I opened that door myself, and it opened very easily. It wasn't stuck. It wasn't, like, it wasn't sticky or having trouble. You know, like, if you have a door that's getting stuck as you open it, it opened perfectly. So I was like, what is wrong with this thing? And then my friend it was both of us. It would have been a little bit, I would have questioned myself if I had gone in there alone, but because my friend was with me, we both could not budge that door. So finally, like, I said to her, like, they'll come and look for us. And the next thing I knew, I heard a class coming down the hall, and we just not banged on the door and said, hey, let us out. And this kid opened the door, and he just kind of looked at us kind of funny, like, what are you guys doing in there? And I just said, thank you so much for opening the door. We were locked in. And he just kind of was like, how are you locked in? There's no lock. And we didn't really look back. We just wanted to get back to our classroom because we figured our teacher was going to be pissed. So we get back to our class, and the teacher's like, where have you guys been? And we're like, we got locked in the art closet. And the teacher was like, girls, seriously. And we're like, I just said, I don't know what to say. I told her what happened. I told her the truth. I think because when you are telling the truth, especially children, I think sometimes you can just sense it. But I just said to her, we got locked in this art closet. I have absolutely no idea what happened. I don't understand. But I could not budge the door. I couldn't open it. And then this kid from the other side opened it without a problem. I look back now and I wonder, was something paranormal holding it shut? I go back to my friend's story in the theater again that, you know, again, that was a public restroom in the theater, but her husband couldn't push that door open. It was like a cement block, except, you know, she had walked right out of it about 2 seconds before he was trying to push at it when she said she just got the feeling to get out of there. Same kind of thing. I wonder if I don't remember being scared in there. I don't remember it being cold. I don't remember anything unusual about what happened in there. It was more like the light was on, we got the supplies, and we were just kind of laughing because the door wouldn't open. But beyond that, that was the only weird thing. There was nothing else. I'm not going to tell you, oh, we heard voices or things started flying off the shelves. That didn't happen. Nothing. I didn't notice anything. There was nothing else that was strange. But it was awfully strange that that door would not budge, and neither one of us could move it. You know, it wouldn't even, like, the handle would go down, but it wouldn't even turn the handle to open the door. It was very bizarre. And now, as I look back at that, I just think, that's interesting. You know, it kind of like makes you rethink some things. It may be nothing, but I think it's awfully odd that a door wouldn't open that has no lock. So we couldn't have been locked in. I don't even think it's that easy to lock yourself into something like that. And it was just a strange occurrence that I don't have an explanation for. So I just, you know, makes you think, especially as a kid, and I know, like, schools are, you know, kind of can have that history. I actually ended up working in between my junior and senior year of college at one of the similar schools in my hometown. It wasn't the elementary school I attended, but it was a school that was nearby that just, you know, it was a little further away. And I just ended up working in there during the summer. And a lot of times the janitors and everybody would kind of leave by 2:30, and I would have to stay till 3:30. So sometimes I would be alone in the building. And I remember just really getting the creeps. And I never felt that way when people were in there, But when everybody left and I would hear things and think people were walking in, like, but it sounded like doors were opening and I knew nobody was there. I just, like, it was unsettling. That's all. I mean, nothing, I never saw anything. I mean, I heard plenty, you know, plenty of questionable noises, but I definitely didn't enjoy being in there that last hour. And that went on all summer because I had to do, like, I was doing office work and clerical work and stuff. And I just remember thinking, I don't like being in here. And the school layout was identical to the elementary school that I had gone to. It wasn't the same school, but they had like four elementary schools in our town and that were in our whole city that kind of had that same floor plan. And then they just divided everybody up in the city that, like, this, you know, section went to that school. So I knew that school because the school was the same. It was really weird. It was just a different building. But I do remember not liking being in there alone when everybody left. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. I look back on that art closet and I'm like, that was weird. And my friend still remembers it. We're still friends to this day. We still talk. She lives in Arizona now. And she'll even say, she goes, do you remember when we got locked in that art closet and it didn't have a lock? And we'll kind of laugh. But at the same time, we'll go, that was really weird, wasn't it? You know, and we've always kind of said that at the end of laughing about it as a memory. So, yeah, we still remember it. Like, it was, I mean, it was a long time ago, but it was, I can remember it. Like, it just happened, and it was very strange. So, well, anyway, I hope that you have a great holiday, and I enjoy, again, listening. And I think my dad is a new listener officially now, too, because he really enjoyed what I played for him. He loved the camaraderie between you two. He thought you guys were both hysterical, and he loved it. So, anyway, it was great to have him become a fan as well. So, and he reminded me of that ghost story with his sister's sister-in-law, my aunt's sister-in-law. So that was really cool. I'm glad he reminded me and I could share that with you. So anyway, happy holidays and have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you for sharing the story with us and sharing our show with your family.
Yeah, that's
it. Could
awesome.
Go one of two ways. Either your family will love you and think this is a great thing you've just shared, or they'll be like, you know, next Thanksgiving or next Christmas or Easter, we're just going to do our own thing. you do your thing, and we'll message on Facebook or something.
That's funny. You know, it's funny that both of her stories, one had a church and one had a school. I really think both of those types of places have the same type of energy.
Okay.
Like during the day, bustling, full of people, or when a church has people in it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a very, you know, excited energy, but then it's very creepy when they're empty.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. That's and it can be in the middle of the day. In fact, sometimes I find those locations creepiest in the middle of the day when empty.
Yeah,
obviously with people, different atmosphere, but because it's more reminiscent of the way it normally is. Like, all the other parts to it are there,
mm-hmm.
Including sunlight. But the people, one of the most important elements that makes it warm and inviting, is gone.
You know, I bet she and her friend are not the only two kids that have been locked in that art closet.
Yeah.
I bet that's happened since then as well.
There's probably a lot of stories about that art closet. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Have you ever been locked in a room or something without
a lock,
without, or just, I was going to say without explanation, but maybe you found explanation. I guess I'm just going, have you ever been locked in a room without being able to get out and someone else had to get you out of it?
Yeah. When our 4-year-old did it to us.
Oh yeah. That was recent. Yeah.
Yeah.
She locked us in her room.
She did.
Yeah. She said to me the other day, she has one of those little cars and the battery's dead on it right now. But you know, it's like, you know, the little, it goes, you know, 0.5 miles an hour.
Sure.
And you drive it around the driveway every now and then. But she had the idea of, she's like, Daddy, can you get the battery going in my car again? I'd like to drive into town and get us all some sodas.
and those are the thoughts that terrify me.
Yeah. The thing is, I never had one of those cars when I was little. I always wanted one. We never got one. And I had very similar thoughts
mm-hmm.
around that age of, must be great. I could just take that car out and I could go to this store or that store or whatever, you know.
Sure.
probably a good thing I didn't have one. And it's probably a good thing the battery is dead on hers right now.
You know, I had one, but I never had the thought of ever going anywhere past my driveway.
Like using it as an actual vehicle?
No.
On the roads?
No.
It's thinking beyond the driveway,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Fun stuff. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny Brewski. This is Richard calling out of San Antonio. I've called before and I have other stories that I want to tell, but I really wanted to tell this one because it happened just this Saturday. I was coming into work. My shift starts at 10:30. Yeah, I know it sucks going in at 10:30 on a Saturday. But anyways, the building I work in is a fairly old building. It was built in the 1950s by USAA. USAA sold it to AT&T, and that's the company I work for now. It's pretty well known that the building itself is haunted. There are several ghosts within the building. I work on the third floor, and in my office personally, there's a little girl that everybody sees running around. There is a tall shadow man. I would say he's maybe 7 or 8 feet tall. Likes to wear a top hat. But you only see, he's a shadow man. And you normally only see him either early in the morning or late in the evening. And then there is another apparition that's just smoke. Literally, like, it is smoke that just hangs in the air. And I have a few stories about each of these. But the main one I want to tell is, like I said, the one that happened on Saturday. So I was coming into the building. I'm riding the escalator on the way up. And I'm going from the first floor to the second floor. And as I'm getting on the escalator, I felt what I thought was a tug on my cup. My coffee cup. I have a tall coffee tumbler that holds about 24 ounces of coffee. I need it. I felt the tug and I kind of turned to see if somebody was. Nobody was there, of course. And so I thought, well, maybe I just kind of, unconsciously loosened my grip and was about to lose the cup, and that's what I was feeling. So I readjusted my grip, make sure I had it nice and tight. And, went about going up the escalator. So I get about halfway up the escalator. And this time, this was a straight, almost, want to say, violent pull on my cup to where it pulled the cup out of my hand. But just the cup. I still had the top and straw in my hand because of how vice-like of a grip I had, because I was afraid I was going to drop it again. And the coffee was everywhere, all over the right side of my body, on the wall, on the railing, and of course, all over the escalator now. I was dumbfounded. I was speechless. Like, that was a lot of force that it took to pull the cup from my hand while I had this grip on it and still had the top. Just kind of stood there in amazement for a while. I picked up my cup. I had to get to work on time, so I just picked it up and went upstairs. Cleaned myself off a little bit. Kind of told my coworkers what's happening, because like I said, most everybody knows that there is ghosts in our building. Called down to the guard station so they can make sure to send somebody up to clean the mess, clean the coffee. We don't want it to get there and just leave stains, of course. We'd like to take care of our building. So anyways, the call was made to have the mess cleaned up, and the guard comes up, because on Saturdays, unfortunately, it's the guard that has to clean those messes, and he comes up, and he's verifying, he asks, is it from the first floor to the second floor going up? I was like, yeah, there's no coffee anywhere. He tells me this, I just kind of look at him sideways, like, what do you mean there's no coffee anywhere? I saw the mess it made because it splashed on the wall, the escalator, and above it, the wall itself. He tells me, yeah, there's no mess. So that kind of threw me for a loop, on how there could be no coffee anywhere. Unless somebody went behind me, saw the mess, and cleaned it up that quickly, which is doubtful because there aren't very many offices that are open on a Saturday at my building. Yeah, it's just weird, freaky. Like I said, there's a lot of experiences in this building. I will definitely call back and tell you guys more about it, but I definitely had to send this one in because it just happened within the past few days. Thank you very much for what you guys do. Love the show. It helps the day go by so quickly. Tony, you're a blast. You're a funny man. And Jenny, God bless you for dealing with him. You guys take care. Have a great day.
So it sounds like not only did the ghost want the coffee away from him, mm-hmm. it literally wanted the coffee because the coffee was gone.
That'd be a depressing thing if you're, I mean, because the coffee was gone, but did it just kind of go in some other place that wasn't seen or did the ghost get a chance to consume it? And if the ghost got a chance to consume it, it has to come back out sometime.
Now, in all honesty, somebody, you know, I guess could have, in theory, come along and clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole yanking it out of his hand thing. That's a little bit
violent,
creepy, especially with hot coffee. The hot coffee can be a weapon.
That could go bad really quick.
Yeah.
With the ghost, if it's not going to consume it, if it's not trying to take it to steal it, you know, the sheer amount of coffee that people drink at this day and age, would, I guess it's difficult to say, but there's, maybe I'm wrong, but it sure seems like there's more opportunities to get coffee at any time of the day than at any other point in history. Is that accurate? I don't know. Because you look back and there's always diners and stuff. There's fewer diners, but there's sure. more Starbucks. Maybe there's just different locations you could go get your cup of coffee.
And there's hot coffee ready at just about every gas station.
And there's probably not statistics on this of what was coffee consumption in 1945
yeah.
versus today. You know, I'm just curious, do we consume more coffee now than before? I would venture to guess yes.
I would say probably yes in a big way.
Okay.
Just because, you know, that was one of those things you had to take time to brew mm-hmm. it in the little, you know.
Yeah. And people's obsession with it, too, sometimes yeah. now. It's well beyond, if you were to look at maybe someone who was a big coffee drinker in 1945, you know, probably not as particular about the coffee they were getting. Whereas today it's this roast from this part of the world and it has to be brewed in this specific way and you have to add this or that. Very, very specific. People are very passionate about their coffee. Way more than it used to just be like, oh, it's coffee. It's good.
Sure.
I like coffee. Now it's like another child to some people, you know, how into it they are. And I'm not saying this in any sort of negative way. I'm just making an observation on it. That being said, as this generation or several generations of people who have been so passionate about coffee now for probably like the last 15, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
as the evolution of the Starbucks culture has grown, as folks die, coffee as a subject, as an interest of a ghost, as a dead person, probably higher on the list now, or you have more odds of that being an interest than a ghost from the 40s.
Sure.
Just because it's something that was a big part of their life, something that was very important to them. And if you're dead and you can't get your coffee, I could see that being kind of a mission. I'm going to try and figure out how to get coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense where I was going with it?
It does. It does. But it also makes me wonder if, you know, like before everybody started to realize that cigarettes will give you cancer
mm-hmm.
and all the adults seem to be smokers.
Sure.
If that was a thing, you know, when they died, if, you know, the ghost really missed smoking.
That's a very common thing we hear of people of that generation who have passed. And then the living going, you know, I smell grandpa's pipe. I smell grandpa's cigarette. I know the brand. It's this brand. And I'm mm-hmm. smelling it in his house or at my house. And we don't smoke. Or so it's very much in line with that.
Yeah.
Where maybe that passion for that pastime mm-hmm. or that that vice is going to transition into coffee
mm-hmm.
Over smoking, just with sheer numbers and where people's interests and things go.
Sure.
It's odd to think about how that kind of translates into the afterlife and what we'll see.
Yeah.
Trending on from dead people this week. there's going to be a whole generation of children, kids that are kids right now
mm-hmm.
who are, when they're older, when they're 50 or 60, are going to be very pissed that their home is constantly smelling like pumpkin spice shit.
Yeah.
Because it's mom.
We've not had a pumpkin spice ghost.
It's grandma. We're not going to. We're going to be dead by the time this shit starts happening. That's us. That's us haunting our kids.
Okay.
It's this generation making the house smell like, God, why does mom have to constantly, I know she's haunting the house, it's great, but can you pick a different flavor? I'm sick of the pumpkin spice. That's what's going to happen. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Think before you pumpkin spice. Hi.
Hi, Brewskis. So my story, I have a few paranormal stories that I will be submitting at a later time, but for my first submission, I thought I would tell a story that just really impacts me, and although it's not my personal experience, it was something that relates to my family, so I think it's a really, really good story. So for my father is somebody who has always taught me that family comes first. Ever since I can remember, he's been taking care of my great-grandparents, like his grandparents, his mother and father, my mom's mother and father, just anyone in the family. He always put a big emphasis on how important it is to take care of your elders. So when we moved out of Philadelphia when I was younger, my great-grandfather, who's my father's grandfather, he lost his wife, and there was no one in the area to take care of him on a daily basis. My dad usually did his groceries and whatnot. So when we moved into our new home, my dad and my mom made a point to kind of change the garage into a guest room with a bathroom and everything like that, so my great grandfather could live with us for some time. So my dad really went out, like, really put it out there that he wanted to take care of my poppy, my great grandfather, and just do anything he could. So my poppy lived with us for some time, and he got to an age where when no one was home, it was hard. We always had to have somebody home to take care of him, and he just began to exhibit behaviors that showed that he needed somebody, a constant nursing staff or someone to be with him at all times. So that was towards like the end. Eventually he moved out to a nursing home and passed away. But it was really hard for my father just to let that go, to think that he couldn't do anything more to help him. So fast forward a couple months, we have a pool table in our basement that, so when my father was younger, his father and his and his uncles and everyone and his grandfather, my poppy, used to all play pool, and it was just like a big family thing. And so after my poppy had passed, at this time my grandfather, my pop-up had already passed, and my great uncle had passed also. So they had all passed away, and right after my poppy had died, we began to hear the pool balls breaking in our basement on the pool table. So we would, as a family, be upstairs and hear that, look around confused, know that everyone's upstairs, no one's downstairs, go downstairs, no pool balls are on the table, but we all heard it. There's distinct times that we would each individually hear, and that's a very distinct noise. I can't even, it's that breaking of, you know, the ball set up and that crash. But not anything like violent. It's just, it's a very distinct sound. So we would hear that for a while. A few like random things would happen to me in my bedroom, just like things would move, or just we would hear noises. My brother had a guitar, and you'd hear like the strum of a guitar, but no one would be in the room to strum it, and he would walk in the room and the strings would still be resonating as if somebody did touch it. It was things like that were happening. So we all just were like, oh, it's Poppy, and you know, he's just saying hey, that he's here. My father doesn't really believe in anything paranormal. He's definitely somebody that needs an experience to believe something. But this experience definitely made him a believer. So one night, my father and my mother were sleeping, and my mom has this dream that Poppy comes to her and just says, oh, I just talked to Anthony, my father. I just talked to Anthony, and everything's going to be okay. And my mom in her dream was just like, okay, like, good to see you, Poppy. You look so great. Like, this is what she's telling me. So when she immediately woke up, still, like, in a dreamy state, the first thing out of her mouth to my dad was, how's Poppy? And my dad instantly was very confused by this. He was, you know, asked my mom what she meant, and she was like, oh, sorry, I'm just, yeah, I just had a dream about Poppy. You know, she just took it as, like, her waking up, that was the first thing on her mind. She didn't know why she said it, but my father was very persistent as to why she asked that. So eventually she said, like, oh, I just had a dream that he said he talked to you, no big deal. And that freaked my dad out, because he had just had a dream that night also that Poppy came to him and was just saying, you know, it's been me. I've tried, you know, I've been around the house and I know you guys have heard me, but I just wanted to let you know that, like, thank you. And I will be going now. I won't be bothering you guys anymore. And my dad, like, had a conversation with him. I'm getting goosebumps right now. And then that was it. The craziest part is, of course, my mom then dreamt of him too and said that in the dream, Poppy said he talked to my father, Anthony, which, you know, that's another factor that really blew my parents' mind that Poppy said that. And, you know, my dad had had that dream also. But the next big thing that is just crazy is that my parents both described my Poppy wearing the same exact thing. He was wearing khakis, a light blue shirt, the same shoes, everything, that he looked the exact same in both their dreams. And it was just one of those occurrences that, you know, how is there a coincidence like that? It's just definitely a very peaceful thing after that happened. You know, it kind of shook up the family in a good way. Everyone was kind of like, well, that's not just a coincidence. That was Poppy saying that, you know, thank you. I think to my father more than anything for just being there for him, but he wanted to make sure we knew that, you know, he was okay. So that's my story. Again, I have a few others that I will be sending in, and thank you guys so much for having this podcast. I enjoy it every time that a new one comes out, and I am definitely going to be becoming an EPP. I just found your podcast recently, so I plan on joining. All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
I think that is definitely a dream visitation. If they're both seeing him in the same even outfit, I think, you know, that's more than just dreaming about a lost loved one.
Yeah, that's more than a coincidence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it can probably rest fairly assured there that that you got something there where it's exactly what she said. It's a dream visitation. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that story, and thank you for saying you're going to become an EPP. It's great. You'll love it. There's lots of stuff up there, 120-some episodes, just jam-packed, new ones every single week with the creepiest ghost stories that we get in here at the show, and it's all exclusively for EPP members. So nothing but good stuff at ghostpodcast.com, so be sure to check that out at ghostpodcast.com and become an EPP. Thanks to our supporter for today, Blue Apron. Right now, like I said earlier on the show, get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/ghost. That's all you got to do. Eat on us. Check that out at blueapron.com/ghost. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.